Well, today I'm going to talk about sowing and reaping. And Galatians 6:7 says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." And so sowing and reaping covers all kinds of areas, but in the natural, there are laws that govern nature. For example, there's the law of gravity. If you turn loose of something, it's going to fall. You know, if you are up on the roof and step off, you're going to fall. You know, there's a lot, there's natural physical laws. And in farming, the law of sowing and reaping works in farming. You reap what you sow. Whatever you plant, that's what you're going to harvest. So if you want squash, you need to plant squash because that's what you get. Every seed after its kind. There's our spiritual laws that operate in God's kingdom. For example, God gave his son, or sowed his son. He gave his only son that he could reap many sons. Because Jesus came and he gave his son and he died and rose again. There's thousands and millions of Christians all over the world because of the seed that was sown named Jesus. We also reap blessing by blessing others. We're going to 1 Peter 3:9. And it says, "Do not repay evil for evil or curse for curse, but on the contrary, bless, knowing that to do this you are called so that you may receive a blessing." When we bless other people's lives, blessings fall back into our lives. When we're good to someone else, people are good to us. And it works with negative seeds too. If you don't forgive others, you're going to find people not forgiving you. If you're angry and bawl them out, you're going to find people bawling you out. So whatever kind of seeds we plant, that's what comes back to us. It's the law of sowing and reaping. Psalms 126, 4 through 5 says, "Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." This is, to me, talks about salvation. You know, when we weep for the lost, they're going to be brought into God's kingdom. We're going to reap their souls. Hallelujah. And there's something about, you know, caring for the lost enough to weep for them and cry for them. Hallelujah. It's weeping. And sometimes when you go out bearing seed, VBS that we did this week is a part of sowing seeds. We sowed God's word into all of these children and all of these workers, and even the parents were here part of the time. We were sowing the seeds of God's word into them, and we're expecting a harvest in Douglas of people knowing God and coming to the Lord. Because when you plant seeds, they come forth. Hallelujah. It's a law. We're going to talk about sowing and reaping and financial giving. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 7 says, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." God wants whatever we give to be a free will offering to him. He wants it to come from our heart because we want to give for him. Hallelujah. He doesn't want us to have to give. But he wants us to enjoy giving it because it's coming out of our heart. You know, God is a giver. God gave his son. He gave us this earth. He gives us so many things. God is a giver. And when we have God in our hearts, we get to be like him. We want to give because it's his nature within us that, you know, we give. And not only financial things, but, you know, just give smiles to people. Give pleasantness to people. You know, there's so many ways that we can give. There was about 30 workers that gave their time working with kids all this week. And so that's a way of giving. We're going to Genesis 8:22. And it says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. The earth is still here, right? We're on it. And so as long as the earth is, there will be seed time and harvest. There will be planting seeds and harvesting crops. God's economics is not depending on what is going on in the world. The key to prosperity in times of famine is hearing and obeying God. And we're going to read a story about how about Isaac, and he's a good example of sowing seed and reaping a big harvest even in a time of famine. We're going to Genesis 26. I'm going to read 1 through 3, and then we'll drop down to 12 through 14. And this was talking about Isaac. There was a famine in the land. Down to verse 2. Then the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land of which I tell you. Dwell in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. So Isaac had to listen to the Lord, and he had to obey what God told him to do. Down to verse 12, then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. The man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous, for he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and a great number of servants. And this was a time of famine in his own land. There was famine. There wasn't, crops weren't producing. There wasn't rain. And yet Isaac heard the voice of the Lord. God told him to do something, and he obeyed, and he got 100-fold harvest, which is a huge harvest. Isaac would not have prospered had he not sown, but where and when he sowed, according to the instruction of the Lord, was the key to the abundant harvest. Many others in that day would have sown only to have lost their seed up in the ground. Isaac's story had a happy ending because he listened to God and he obeyed God. And so every day in our lives, it's important to listen to God. And when he speaks something to us, obey what he tells us. Amen. There's always a few that are blessed when the majority are shaken and fearful. Remember the widow in Kings, and there was a famine in the land, and God sent the prophet Elisha and said, give me food. And she said, we only have enough for one more meal, and then we're going to just lay down and die. But because she gave him the food, her meal barrel and her oil never run dry, and they were kept till the end of the famine. But they obeyed what God said to do, and they were kept supernaturally. They had supernatural provision because they heard the Lord and obeyed the voice of the Lord. Hallelujah. And so it's important in these times. Our world is kind of in a mess. Financially, you know, a lot of the world is hurting and in a mess financially. And it's time for people to get in alignment with the kingdom of God and God's economic system, because God's economic system isn't failing. You know, God's not pacing back and forth around heaven saying, oh, no, 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 oh, no, look how bad everything is on earth. You know, he's not having a nervous breakdown, because he has a plan to prosper people and bless people if they would just turn to him and look to the Lord. Hallelujah. If we sow into a failing system, we reap a failing harvest. If we sow into a system that never fails, we harvest success and prosperity. We need to sow into the kingdom of God and where he tells us to, what he tells us to do. I'm going to give a personal testimony that was just a miracle in our lives. On September 25th, 1985, we were living in Sierra Vista, and Calvin was selling and erecting steel buildings, metal buildings, and as he woke up that morning, we were getting ready to go from Sierra Vista to the Douglas Fair, where we had a booth about the buildings, and as he was waking up, the Lord spoke to him and said, arise and go forth in a new venture of faith, and I will bless thee and use thee and keep thee safe. To make a very long story short, that day at the fair, we met Jose De La Torre at the fair. And we began immediately. We came down to where he was building. He had started a children's work in Mexico. Well, he started with a children's club, and then adults started coming. And at the time that we met him, they had an old tent on their property. Mary Lou and Jose had sold their property in Douglas. They had a house, and they bought a piece of property in Agua Prieta, but they just bought the property. And so they were living there in an old bus, and they had built a tent that they just made out of old tarps, old yellow front tarps, those cheap ones that fall apart. And they had sticks, and every time the wind would blow, people would have to hang on to the poles so it didn't collapse on everyone. But that's where they were having church. And he had a vision for all the things he's doing now, and we know how God's blessed him. But God put it in our hearts to begin to help him build his building. And we began to tell everybody about what he was doing, and people would give us little bits of money, and we would bring it down and put it into steel. And Calvin began to erect the building where they're still meeting today. And so we really did sacrifice, and we worked hard helping him get the first part of his building up. And 10 years later, and we lived in a little shack down on 4th Street. When we moved in it, you could see daylight out of almost anywhere you looked. And Calvin put that old house back together, and we lived there comfortably. But anyway, 10 years later, we had always rented, and the Lord told Calvin, you have spent 10 years building pastors' houses and churches in Mexico, and next year is the year to build your house. And we really wanted to have our own house. We wanted to build a house, but we didn't make enough money to approve for any loan. We went to the banks, and they laughed at us. And we had a desire to build our own house, but Calvin's not a contractor, so of course the bank wouldn't loan money to him for building a house. And so, we really wanted our own place. And we had been in several rent houses and would have to fix it up and have to move. And it was just, we wanted our own place. And when the Lord spoke to Calvin, now's the time to build your house. And he gave him this scripture from Proverbs 24:27. And it said, prepare your outside work, make it fit for yourself in the field, and afterward build your house. Well, after the Lord told Calvin we heard about some property where we are on King's Highway right now. And we went to the guy that owned it and says, we're interested in that property. And he said, well, I'll tell you what. You can pay something down if you want to, or you can just take it without paying anything down and make whatever monthly payments you can make, and I'll sell you that land. So we bought the land with nothing down and an agreement to pay it off. Well, just right at that same time, Calvin had a friend in New Mexico that they were raised like brothers. And he was running a sawmill up in the mountains, up at Reserve, New Mexico. And he called us and he says, I have it on my heart to give you all the lumber to build a house. He was wanting to give tithe off of his business to us to build a house. So we had the lumber promised. Well, I mean, you still have to have other things. And so a couple of days later, we met some friends in Tucson and took them to lunch, and they helped us with Christmas things and different things, and they were friends, so we took them to lunch, and we were just sitting eating, and we said, we bought a piece of property to build a house. I don't know how we're going to do it, but we did. And they says, well, we just got some inheritance money, and we will loan you the money to build your house. And they loaned it to us on a real low interest rate. And we had enough to pay off the land and build our house. And, you know, we have a beautiful house. Our payment was less than we were paying rent in Douglas. And we paid it off in 11 years. It was a miracle. It was a miracle of the Lord. But the Lord says, okay, it's time to build your house. When he said it, then things just started coming together. And another interesting thing, we had rented a house in Cumpas that we were wanting to buy, and we couldn't buy it. The owners there, they don't sell by time. They want all the money down, all the money at one time. But we had wanted it to be ours so we could fix it up for the ministry. It's a faith ministries house, and we're still using that same mission house to bring teams in and everything. Well, the same people that loaned us money for the house says, oh, we'll loan you money to buy that house. So we borrowed money to buy the house in Cumpas, and our payments on it were less than we were paying rent in Cumpas, and we had it paid off quickly. You know, God began to move and operate. And so when things are impossible for us, it doesn't mean that it's impossible for God. And at the time, we had a little bitty tiny church over on 9th Street. Some of you came to that little church. We didn't have, it had a chapel. It was really kind of like a chapel. We had a meeting place, not real big. We didn't have Sunday school rooms or any extra space. It was just tiny. And we were meeting there, and we didn't have anywhere to do children's classes. It was just like there wasn't anywhere to put the children, and we had a lot of children at the time. And so we were saying, God, we need a bigger building. And anyway, it went 1 year after we got our house and the mission property in Cumpas, Bobby heard that they were the people that were here. This was a First Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, and he heard that the people that was here, and there wasn't very many of them, were going to go to another church and mix their churches, combine their churches. And so Bobby and Calvin went to the board that had the church, and they said, you know, we need a larger church. And they were thinking about, they had several offers to sell it for several different things at the time. And when Calvin and Bob came home from that meeting, Calvin just felt led to write a letter to the board and say, this is, if you would give us your church, we will give the church we're in to another ministry that's needing a building. And he said, he also told him, this is how we'll use the church. And we like children. We like to minister to children. And for about 3 weeks, we didn't hear anything. And then they called and they said, the board has made a unanimous decision to give you the building. and they donated this building to us. And so it was like a miracle of the Lord. And that night, the night that we got the call that said they were going to give us this building, I was laying in bed and I was just crying. My pillow was sopping wet. And I was saying, God, you're so good to us. You're just so good to us. I was overwhelmed with the goodness of God. And God, you know what he told me? He said, you sacrificed to build Jose's church in Agua Prieta, and this is your harvest. Hallelujah. Giving works. And not only just giving, but obeying God in what you're doing. Listen to the Lord. What is he telling you? What is he putting on your heart? And it works. Hallelujah. 5 years ago, Calvin and I went to Nakasari, and there was a minister there from Tabasco speaking. We didn't know him, and he didn't know us. But Calvin and I walked in the door, and he gave us a prophecy, and he said, there's a mantle of healing over you. There's going to be a mighty flow of healing. It's going to fill Douglas and even flow over to Tucson and Phoenix. For all of the seeds you have planted in Mexico over the years, you are going to reap the harvest in Douglas and in the U.S. And so that's a promise that we're still, you know, we have some harvest, but we're still waiting on it. Hallelujah. But God's promises are sure, and they come to pass. Hallelujah. So we've planted a lot of seeds in a lot of areas in Mexico. Hallelujah. And God is faithful. Haggai 2:6-9. For thus says the Lord of hosts, one more, it is a little while, and I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and dry land. And I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations, which is Jesus, and I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. When it says the Lord of hosts, you know what it's saying? The Lord of the angel armies. The Lord of the angel armies. Hallelujah. The Lord of the glory of the latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. And so we know that their Old Testament had one glory, but the New Testament has a different glory. And we're in the New Testament, in the New Covenant, and there's a greater glory. But I wanted you to see here that the Lord says the silver is mine and the gold is mine. We're going to Psalms 50:10-12. And it says, for all of the animals of the forest are mine, and I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know every bird on the mountains, and all the animals of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for all the world is mine and everything in it. Who owns all the world? God does. Hallelujah. In the kingdom under his reign, all that we are and all that we have belongs to him. God lets us steward what he puts into our hand and use it. But really, everything belongs to the Lord. Everything we have belongs to the Lord. It's all his. Man, God wants his children to prosper. We're going to 2 Corinthians 8:9. It says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. That's good news. Amen. That's good news. Hallelujah. Philippians 4:19 says, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Does it say God will supply our needs according to our education, our ability, how hard we work? No, it says that he supplies our needs according to his riches and glory. And he owns it all. He owns it all. He has everything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We believe that we're in the beginning of a season where there's going to be transference of wealth to God's people who will manage it biblically or the way that God asked them to, that will be obedient in it. And I'm just going to read a few interesting scriptures for you to see what the word says. Proverbs 28:8 says, "One who increases his possessions by usury, which is unjust interest, and extortion, gathers it for him who will have pity on the poor." Interesting. Proverbs 13:22. It says, "A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous." Amen. While I was reading some of these, I was thinking about the drug trafficking and all the cartels and the wealth that they have accumulated. I believe that that belongs to the righteous, and it's going to come into people's hands that will use it right. Amen. Ecclesiastes 2:26 says, "For God gives wisdom and knowledge and joy to a man who is good in his sight, but to the sinner he gives the work of gathering and collecting that he may give to him who is good before God." Interesting. Job, we're going to read Job 27, verse 13, and then verse 16 through 17. It says, "This is the portion of a wicked man with God, and the heritage of oppressors received from the Almighty. Though he heaps up silver like dust and piles up clothing like clay," and then down to verse 17, "he may pile it up, but the just will wear it, and the innocent will divide the silver. This is the portion of a wicked man with God, and the inheritance of cruel men, which they shall receive from the Almighty." Anyway, those are just interesting scriptures, but the righteous are favored. And he that's right with God and does right is favored. And the favor will come to him. Hallelujah. We're blessed. We're blessed. We're children of the King. We love the Lord. We're blessed. Hallelujah. And when it's impossible, things that's impossible for us are not impossible with God. God can do all things. Hallelujah. Matthew 6:19-21. Says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Your heart will always follow your treasure. And if our heart is in the kingdom of God, you know, that's where we're going to follow. If we put our treasure into the kingdom of God, our heart will follow it. If we buy a new, brand new boat, where is our heart going to be? At the lake. We're going to be, I want to be out there in that boat every weekend. You know, so it's like our hearts follow our treasure. So when we put our treasure in the kingdom of God, that's where we, our heart follows it. It goes with it. Amen. Matthew 6:24 says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." We can't serve money. We can't serve God and serve money. God wants us to have money, but he doesn't want money to have us. He doesn't want us serving it. 2 Timothy 6:10 says, "The love of money is the root of all evil." It's not the money, it's loving the money and depending on it putting our hope in it, that's the problem. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." So when we're seeking God's kingdom first, the things that we need are drawn to us like a magnet. They come to us. When we seek God, then the things that we need come to us. They just show up. Hallelujah. It's not that God doesn't want us to have things. He doesn't want things to have us. God wants us blessed. He doesn't want us owned by the things we have. He wants to bless us, but he wants our heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When spiritual things are more important to you than physical things, then the Lord will see that you have the physical things that you need, because he likes to meet our need. Genesis 12, 1 through 3. And this is God's word to Abraham. "Now the Lord said to Abram, 'Get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed.'" This is really about partnership. If Calvin and I are blessed and you bless us, then you have the same blessings. You're blessed too. I know when God calls us into the ministry and says, "Arise and go forth in a new venture of faith, and I'll bless you and use you and keep you safe." So when you enter that venture of faith with us, the same blessings belong to you. Hallelujah. And your blessing us causes those blessings to go on to you, like God did with Abraham. And then in Genesis 13:2, it says, "Abraham was very rich in livestock and silver and in gold." And we're going to see how we are Abraham's children, and so Abraham's blessings also belong to us. We're going to Galatians chapter 3. We're going to read 7 and then 9 and 14 and 29. "Therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham." So we're of faith. We believe in Jesus Christ. So we are of faith. Hallelujah. "So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham." 14, "that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." And if you are Christ, are we belong to Christ? Yes. "Then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." So as believers, we are in the position of receiving Abraham's blessings. Amen. We're going to go to 2 Corinthians 9:8, and this is in the Amplified, and it's a New Testament definition of prosperity. And it says, "And God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance, so that you may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation." God wants us to have what we need. He wants us to have more than we need so that we can give to others and help others. He wants us to be full of all we need and running over. Amen? It's so many people have had a poverty mentality, and they would say, "Well, I don't want money, and I don't want things, and I don't want any of that, and I want to stay humble, and I want to stay right." The most selfish thing in the world we can do is not want to be blessed, because we need to be blessed to be able to bless others. If we're not blessed, we can't bless others. Hallelujah. God wants it to be a flow through us where all of our needs are met and they're sufficient to give into every good work and to be a blessing to other people. I know for years and years and years, Calvin and I have had a conviction. It's not right that we only ask God for what we need, because he wants us to ask him for enough to give to others and to help in others. Hallelujah. And the Lord has been so good in that. And it's really just awesome. You know, we help with Faith Ministries, bought materials, and sponsored VBSs all over Mexico, in Sonora and Chihuahua, for over 5,000 children this year. No, it was 7,000. I'm sorry. It was 7,000 children we bought material for, and there's VBSs going on all over Sonora and some in Chihuahua. And these are VBSs that are in very poor neighborhoods. It's in the Indian country, and the people don't have much. They're very poor people. And so going in a week and doing a program where they learn about Jesus and they enjoy the refreshments and they just learn all this stuff is a huge blessing to them. And for Christmas, we're doing 12,000 gifts for children in Mexico and going to do Christmas programs in lots of little tiny places where the children need the attention so bad. But that's the blessing of the Lord. Because we have a heart to give, God puts it in our heart so that we can be a blessing to others. Hallelujah. And you, as part of Faith Ministries, are part of that blessing. You're blessing. You know, we're blessing people all over the place. Hallelujah. About 5 years ago, Calvin was waking up from a nap, and it just came out of him like a word of the Lord, and it said, I want Faith Ministries to become a huge money engine that will send and carry the gospel to the ends of the earth. I wrote it down then. You may not have remembered it, but he said, you do remember it. And the Lord has called us to be a funnel for supplies to go through to take the gospel all over the world. And we've seen some harvest, but we believe it's going to get much greater and much bigger, and that we're going to have money that we need to help fund the work of the gospel and bless people all over. Hallelujah. It's a calling. Thank you, Jesus. And because you are part of this church, that calling is on you too. And the blessings of it can be on you too. Hallelujah. You know, if God didn't bless us, we wouldn't be able to give. And we don't live high. We love means and we love simple food. But God puts money in our hands to give and to use for his glory and for his kingdom. Hallelujah. And the blessings that come to us are also your blessings. I believe with all my heart that God is going to do some unusual miracles in people's lives in this church. Innovative miracles to do things that you thought you never could do. God is alive. It is time for the miraculous. And I feel like it's just time for things begin to happen and things to heart to happen. And so keep your faith out there. Jump in. Listen to God's voice. Be obedient. And usually the obedience, when he tells you to do something, it's usually something simple that you can do. He doesn't ask us to do what we can't do. He asks us to do what we can do. All through the Bible, he said, what's in your hand? Moses said, a rod, and he said, stretch out your rod. The Lord used what was in Moses' hand, what he already had. That's what the Lord used. Hallelujah. So the key is stay close to the Lord, listen to His voice, and then obey. And we will see the miraculous. Hallelujah. We've seen food multiply. We've seen all kinds of miraculous things that God did. And it was just an act of obedience in the little things. Remember, Jesus said when they had the multitude, He said, "What do you have?" And they said, "There's a little boy with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And he fed 5,000 people with it. It was what was God wants to take what's in your hand and multiply it to meet needs. Hallelujah. To His glory. To His glory. Lord, we just thank You for this day. Lord, we thank You. We thank You for the opportunity we had this week to sow awesome seeds into so many children's lives and their families. Lord, we thank You for continuing to put seeds into our hands that will multiply and do wonders and awesome things. Father, we submit ourselves to You today, that You would bless us, that You would use us, and that You would keep us safe. And we thank You, Lord, for listening hearts and obedient hearts and a heart of faith. Because it's not what we can do, it's what He can do. What He asks us doesn't depend on us, it's what He can do. And He can do miracles and He can do awesome things. We thank You, Lord. We thank You, Lord, for moving mountains. We thank You, Lord, for awesome, awesome, supernatural miracles. And we just thank You, Jesus, that You're so good to us. So good. If anybody wants prayer today for anything, any kind of need at all, you just feel a tugging in your spirit that you want prayed for. You don't even know why. But I'd like to pray for you today. Just thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Lord, for Your presence. Lord, I bless this people. Come on. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Ivan, would you help me pray?